Hello, everybody. It's Julie with Hephzibah Talks a Lot. I have so much going on. I'm gonna try to get through this pretty quick and keep it short and sweet. I always make that promise, and we all know I often fail to carry it through. What I wanna first of all say is just know that anything I say in my podcast is my opinion. And just like everyone, you're entitled to it. So I am entitled to my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. You don't have to like what I say. It's okay. You know what's important, though, is being an adult and actually being mature about it and not being a 2-year-old that wants to take his ball and go home. In other words, guys, grow up. You don't have to agree with everybody. You don't have to get along with everybody, but you have to be kind. And America seemed to have forgotten that. But I digress and jump ahead. Just remember, it's my opinion. If you don't like it, don't listen. You know what? You have the freedom to not listen. I'm just saying that because I'm pretty sure some of the stuff I'm going to say today is going to piss you off. But just stop listening now, then. All right. So, firstly, the biggest news, I guess, would be the bombshell that was dropped on me a little over a week ago on June 22nd. So we were told on June 21st that there was a Blue Jeans town hall meeting for all Disney English employees throughout China and anywhere else that they may have been stuck due to this COVID thing. For those of you that haven't listened to any of my podcasts, just know Disney has taken extremely good care of Disney English employees. Now, as with any job, there's going to be positives and there's going to be negatives. You're going to face things that are going to stress you out. Did I have days where I was horribly stressed out with Disney? Yes. Did I have moments when I didn't fully agree with how they were approaching things in regards to teaching? Yes, but they did a very good job of keeping engagement, keeping us linked once they realized that this thing was stretching out way longer than anyone really thought it would. In addition to that, like, I didn't even feel a hiccup, guys. Like, truly, the only thing was just the isolation, and Disney can't handle that, can't fix that. I mean, it was mandated. Quarantines mandated, social distancing mandated, buildings and places closed. Yeah, everything was just shut down. And we survived it, so all the people crying about it in America need to grow a pair. And I mean that, guys, seriously, just grow a pair. The reason that China now, and I know everybody hates China because they want to blame them for freaking everything. And I'm not defending things, guys. Do the governments keep secret? Yes. And not just the Chinese government, friends. So you're ignorant if you think that you know everything. You don't know anything. You know what you're meant to know. You know what they want to tell you. There's a whole crap of a lot going on, not just in China, but around the world that people have no concept because government keeps things very close to the vest. And if you don't think they do, then you've lost your mind. But essentially, the reason China is able to now almost come out of lockdown fully is because we obeyed lockdown fully when it happened. For those countries that didn't do that and are still facing major surges in cases, that's why, guys. You give up a little bit for a short term in order to enjoy everything later on. Now, the world is never going to be the same, and there's no sense in denying that truth. We are just seeing just a totally new reality right now, and that sucks, and I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. We still have, like, we can not, we don't have to wear masks walking down the street now, though a lot of people do, but that's pretty commonplace in China regardless because of the pollution. But you don't have to, I can drive my scooter down the street now or take a walk or ride a mobike or whatever, and I don't have to worry about having a mask on. However, if I get in a Didi, which is essentially the Uber of China, or I'm on the subway, oh, it's the absolute worst, guys. Or you go into a store, anywhere with close proximity, you have to wear a face mask. And the metro is legitimately the worst, because you could be on the metro for a good hour, hour and a half, and walking through the stations and everything, and the heat and the mugginess of China, it's that's the worst for me. So, we are slowly coming out of lockdown, and through the duration of this situation, I literally have only been in the center, maybe, let me think about it. Let's see. I think it was about 3 weeks that we did. 9, 10, 11, 12. So on a very broad, giving a padding of a couple numbers, 15 times. I have been in my center 15 times since Chinese New Year began at the end of January. That's it. We're in July right now. On average, I would have spent 5 days a week in that center, on average. And that's quite significantly different than 15 days total. And the bulk of those days was the 3 weeks when Disney was like, all right, we're launching our online classes. You need to teach out of the center 3 days out of the five. And since we didn't have classes on Mondays, it didn't make sense not to come on Mondays to the center because, I mean, it didn't make sense to come. Pardon me. It did not make sense to come to the center on Mondays because you don't have anything to do. So we would be in the center Thursday, Friday, Saturday to teach, and then we would teach from home Sunday and Monday. And then suddenly there was an outbreak in a province a little ways away from us, and they were like, yeah, just don't come in the center. And that stopped that. Then I had to go in on the 22nd, which I'll talk about in a little bit. I went back in on the 24th to take care of some stuff. And then I added a couple numbers just in case, because I think I went in and printed something one day to file my taxes. And I'm sure I went in at least one other time. So I tried to do the math in my head. 15 times since the end of January, middle of January. So, we have lived this life. Disney has taken very good care of us. We have taught lessons online. They were 20 minutes long. None of them were my kids, but I loved the kids I taught. I'm going to tell you one thing about teaching in China. Once the borders reopen and everything is back, and you, if you have a bachelor's degree or you have a teaching degree, come to China and teach at least for a year and meet these wonderful kids and see what we can do to improve the schools in America, because there's things, of course, that people do wrong in every country. I feel like we just dumb down education. Our kids do not think for themselves. I watched these high school kids talking about like self-awareness and being aware of other people's perspectives, like understanding that the way someone sees something is not going to be the way I see something, that they learned at this school based on like an art program that taught them things like that. And I'm like, cheeseburgers and rice, man, you guys have got it. You don't often hear, it's very rare, and it has to be, usually has to be a high school student that's interested in psychology, psychiatry or sociology, that you actually hear that kind of stuff come out of their mouth. This was just, that had nothing to do with that. This was like their common, this is their curriculum. This is the stuff these kids are learning. It's amazing. So much more we could do. We underestimate our kids so much. And then we spoon feed them rhetoric and they parrot it back to us. And I've been hearing this for days and months with all this stuff going on the internet. And I'm like, good for you. Polly want a cracker? You're a very good parrot. Good job. Like, think for yourself, guys. If you're just spewing out the rhetoric someone else spewed out, we already heard it. Shut your mouth. We'll give you a cracker. Good job. I'm sorry, but think for yourself. There's so much mob mentality going on right now. It's like, dude, can you actually do some research and think for yourself? Now, once again, my opinion. Whatever you got to do, turn me off. Don't follow my podcast. I have like 5 listeners. So, you know, I appreciate you. But if you've listened to me this long, you know that I'm very opinionated and you probably can stomach most of what I say. Guys, I can watch opposing things, except for The View, because The View is moronic. But I can watch opposing things and I can be like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. The rest of what you said is stupid, you know. And I know you probably feel the reverse for like you know, conservative things. Yeah. Anyway, if you're listening to my podcast, unless you're a friend of mine, more than likely you're a conservative, so maybe you agree with me. Maybe you don't. Does it matter? No. Does it affect my reality if you don't agree with me? No. Does it affect yours? No. I mean, legitimately, guys, why are we making this such a big, hairy deal? So someone said, like, you know, if you love a person, you're gonna... I'm digressing a lot, guys, I know. If you love a person, then you're gonna basically just... They don't say it like this, but this is what they want. They want you to agree with everything they say. They can never be wrong. If you love them, they're never wrong. And you have to accept everything they do. And this is okay until something happens, right? So this is okay until their friend almost dies of a drug overdose. Are you still supposed to accept the fact that they're a drug addict? Well, that's not the same thing, isn't it? Where do you draw the line? Where's the thing that you're supposed to accept and the things you're not supposed to accept? Answer me that. I don't know. You could say something is detrimental to their health, and I could say the same thing for the things you expect me to accept. I could say the same thing. I could give you facts and proof and documentation and everything to prove how detrimental something is, but it's still accepted by you, so it doesn't matter. Okay, like alcoholism. If you're someone that loves to drink, it doesn't matter if I show you that it'll destroy your liver. If you're not like an alcoholic to the point that you're driving drunk or you're totally not showing up to work and you're destroying your family, then people are like, it's fine, be an alcoholic. If you're a functioning alcoholic, you're fine. So where do you draw the line? When is it detrimental? When it actually affects someone else? But it is affecting this person. And if you love them, wouldn't you want them to be healthy? Wouldn't you want their liver to function? Wouldn't you want them to not need alcohol to face a day? You do know that alcohol addiction, if they've been drinking it enough, they can't just stop. They have to actually detox because their body is so used to it that they will die if they just stop drinking. And I'm talking about the extreme case, guys. I'm not talking about, you know, so don't get all malarkey and weird on me. I digress. Point is, love is not accepting everything. And love is not agreeing with everything. You can love a person and disagree with them. My mom and I do it all the time. She doesn't agree with everything I do, but she loves me. And I never question her love for me. I know that she may not agree with all the stuff I do. She may not like my choices sometimes. I know she definitely doesn't like my attitude sometimes, but I know she loves me, and it doesn't matter that she doesn't agree with me. I mean, it matters because her opinion matters. And what she thinks matters. I take it into account. But I mean, it doesn't change the fact that she loves me. I don't sit there and go, oh my gosh, my mom disagreed with me yesterday. She must not love me anymore. Get a grip on reality. I can disagree with you and still love you. I can disagree. I can not like what you do and still love you and still respect you. If I'm not standing in front of your car like these moronic rioters and looters are doing, and even protesters, because protesting is legal and allowed until you start blocking stinking streets and not letting cars get through. Then you're causing harm into your community. You're causing harm. You're no longer a protester. You're disturbing the peace. Protesting should be safe for the protesters and safe for the bystanders. It should be safe. I'm just saying. Anyway, moving on. I digress. So, moving back to Disney. Disney has taken very good care of me, and my journey with Disney is ending. And that is the point of the beginning of this podcast. Point blank. I'm running everything together, guys, because I might as well. I'm not going to segment. There it is. My life. I'm just going to tell you the things as they pop into my brain today, and so it is. On June 22nd, after Disney has taken very good care of us, on that Friday before the June 22nd, which was a Monday, we had a training that was basically making us believe that we were going to relaunch, we were going to be back we were going to be experiencing the new normal. So how we would set up our classrooms, how we would work with the kids. We couldn't let them share Realia. Realia has to be cleaned after every use, which would just mean that I would basically handle Realia. That was my choice. I'm like, if I have to clean Realia after every time I give it to the kids for them to hold a banana or whatever, I'm so not going to do that. Like, I would much rather my LP and I use Realia and the kids never touch it. And then we could clean it like once a week because we're touching it. But the kids would never touch it. I think for me, the most detrimental and hardest thing that would have affected my teaching would have been the fact that myself, my LP, and all the kids had to wear a mask the entire time we taught. And I don't know how you can teach English if the kids can't see your mouth move. Like, now I just thought of it, but maybe I can make, like, a video and be, like, showing how the mouth is supposed to move when you do phonics and stuff. But honestly, like, how do you do it? So we go to this 22nd town hall, and literally within 3 minutes, I think I timed it, they fired us all. We were basically laid off. Disney English closed, and it is no more. Once again, Disney has taken very good care of all of us, even now through the closing. Very good care of all of us. I have no gripes. I am very sad. I feel like they let go of something here in China that there actually was a really good thing for them to keep hold of. I mean, I know that Disney is bleeding money right now, and I legit get that. What I would have done was I would have just said, you know, okay, which of you are planning to finish out your contract and go home? How many of you you're after this year, you're done, like after you finish your contract? And whoever said that was their goal, I would have offered them the, okay, here's your termination date, here's what we're going to offer you to get you home and everything. And then seeing how many you have left, which I would assume would just be a tiny handful, I would be like, all right, so we will keep open three centers or whatever. And these three centers will be spread throughout Shanghai, so they're not close together. So that way we could try to get three different demographics, and we will power through the rest of this COVID situation, and then we will relaunch. However, fully relaunch. However, I do understand. I understand that Disney literally is bleeding money now, and a lot of people don't see that, but their parks were all closed. There was, with this, the, in America, especially with the shutdowns, like, a lot of employees couldn't even go into work because malls were closed. Movie theaters were closed, filming in Hollywood and all of that stopped. I mean, they're just bleeding money. And Disney English was not necessarily a big money-making venture. It would eventually get there, but it takes time to build that here. So I can understand. I don't know all the logistics, guys. I don't know what discussions happened behind closed doors from the very high ups that decided, sorry, I kind of bit my cheek when I said that, that decided to end Disney English. But I have to tell you, it was a major shock to most people when we heard it. We had an HR meeting with those that were here in China shortly thereafter, like literally that afternoon. I met with HR, found out my contract options, and went from there. I have spent the last few, I don't even want to say few days, as of like Thursday of last week till today, and today is Thursday. Is it? Today's July, oh, it's Friday. Today's July 3rd. So I've spent a literal week doing interview after interview, guys. They blended together so much that I don't remember half the things. But what I will tell you is this. Well, I'm hearing all about racism in America. People that are just spouting it, they have no concept. I 100% agree that racism exists in America, but it is not a systematic racism, and it is not an overwhelming racism. There's a woman that she posted a video, and she's like, you gotta stop saying this happened because I'm black. This happened because of the color of my skin. Some things legitimately will happen because people are racist. Some things will happen because people are sexist. Some things will happen because people are ageist. I mean, things are gonna happen because there's an innate evil in all of us, and people are gonna respond to that some ways that is detrimental to the community and other people. They just are. But it's not a systematic thing. It's not a systematic thing. And the reason I can say that is because as I got overwhelmed and inundated with job offers and interviews and all this stuff, I was talking to a few people from a center because we all happened to travel to an interview together. This was on Wednesday last this week. And we traveled to this interview, And I was saying, I'm so exhausted, and there's so many. And they're like, well, good for you. Because the people in this car, two were Filipino, and two were South African. And essentially, it's not like that for them here. Filipinos are systematically being racist against. Like, they legitimately cannot teach. China has made it illegal for a teaching license to be issued to Filipinos. So you want to talk about racism? Like, I was totally ignorant of the level. I knew about Filipinos here, because I knew somebody that, obviously, as I was saying, was Filipino. But when I even tried to, like, I reached out to some of my recruiters, and I'm like, hey, do you have jobs for Filipinos? Do you have jobs for Filipinos? Do you have jobs for Filipinos? Most of all, I think I reached out to maybe five, and only one came back that there were opportunities that they had for them. Meanwhile, they're, like, beating down my door. And the same is true, except that it's not illegal for them to teach, but the same is true for the South Africans. They're not getting as many opportunities. They're not getting as many interviews. I actually had one person say, when I was like, I have these two coworkers that are from South Africa, and I sent their contact card, and this person's like, I hate to say this, but I can't refer them to this one school because they want white face. And she goes, and I know that's wrong, but that's what they're looking for. And I'm all, I'm sorry. I'm like, that really bothered me. Like, I'm like, these are amazing teachers. These are amazing women. They're teaching English. They were here. They were Disney English before me and are still there. They honor their word. They honor their contracts. These are amazing, exceptional women. And because of the color of their skin, you're going to deny them a position. And I get that that is something that can happen and does happen in America. However, it is not an all-encompassing, systematic racism thing like it is here. And I think, and like I said, you guys can agree with me, you can disagree with me, you can get pissed off, and that's fine. All I ask is that you just start taking time. Take a moment in your life and just say to yourself, like, what filters, I almost used my Christian cuss word there, but I chose not to. What filters do I have engaged in my life? And how do I turn them off when I need to? Okay? Because sometimes filters are helpful. So I'm going to give you an example I gave to one of my foster kids. Her name is... I can't tell you her name. Almost did. I was going to say her name is... But I can't. Anyway, I'm going to call her Grace. Okay? That wasn't her name, but I got to use a name so I know what I'm doing. So, Grace... What came to our home for a short term while they checked out her mother in another city, another state. And I take it very lightly. I believe Grace made up a lot of the accusations she said against her father. I believe she made up a lot of the allegations. The unfortunate thing is burden of proof. And you do have to listen to a little kid when they say things because we don't know. We don't know. But based on things she would tell me later, based on the way she'd respond to certain situations, I'm like, dude, if your dad was like as abusive as you're saying he is, you wouldn't do that. And I know we can't, like, you know, blanket response people, but I gotta tell you, when I was coming out of an abusive situation, everything scared the living crap out of me, guys. I'm not kidding. Like, I went to stay with my dad for a short time when all this stuff was going on. And I was laying on my bed one time, and I don't know why, guys. I was in fourth grade, so don't judge me. I was tapping the heel of my foot against my window in my room while I was lying on my bed. Don't ask me why. I couldn't tell you what my fourth grade brain was thinking. But my foot... I wasn't hitting it hard, but I was progressively tapping the window, and you know eventually something's going to happen. And my foot went through the window. Thankfully, I didn't cut my foot. I don't know how that happened either, but it didn't. So my heel went through the window, and I broke the window. And I'm like, oh, crap. So I go and I tell my dad, Dad, I broke my window. And he's like, He cussed because my dad was a cusser. He's like, ah. I think he said the crap word, I'm pretty sure. And then he's like, okay. And my dad's a carpenter. Like, it's his hobby. It's what he likes to do. And he went to go get a big piece of wood that he could use to cover my window till we replaced the window. And I don't remember anything in the interim, but I know, I can remember as clear as day when my dad came walking back in, I had a little nightstand kind of table in the corner, and I was sitting on that. I was sitting on that with my back to the corner, my legs drawn up to my chest, and my arms around my legs. And I remember my dad walking in. He wasn't necessarily happy, but he wasn't angry. And he came walking in kind of like, la-di-da-di-da, like just, oh, my daughter broke her window. Like, you know, don't cry over spilled milk, guys. Accidents happen. If, like, I had been throwing things in the house, and dad's like, don't throw things in the house, and then I threw something and broke a window, I deserve to be punished for that. This was just me being a kid and doing something stupid. You know, nobody was hurt. We move on. So my dad brings the wood in, and he looks in the room because I'm not sitting in the room. So he kind of looks around for a second, like, where's my daughter? And then he looks and sees me in the corner. And my dad, being the astute individual that he is, goes, what are you doing? And I was sitting there, and he goes, I'm not going to hit you. And I was like, oh, I was cold. I lied. Defense mechanism is lying, of course. And I got off the table. Looking back at that, I understand what happened. In my brain, I was going to get a whooping for that. My dad did spank us, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. My dad did not spare the rod. but my dad was not abusive about it. And the fact that that was my reaction when my dad wasn't even yelling at me. And my dad didn't even yell at me when I told him. Like, my dad wasn't like, what the heck's wrong with nothing? He was just like, ah, poop. And then he went and got a piece of wood. It's not like, he didn't make a big deal about it. And I'm sitting, and I was crouched in a corner, afraid that I was going to get slapped or spanked or yelled at or something. Who knows? Point being, this little girl was, like, defiant to all ends. I don't doubt that her dad may have slapped her face, like she said. I don't doubt that. She was a defiant little turd. But this other stuff she accused him of, I'm like, yeah, I don't think he did that to you. Especially when she started accusing other people just randomly. What was the point? Oh, I was explaining to Grace. I'm sorry. I lost my point. I'm like, why am I going off? She was definitely one of my struggles because I was like, I don't feel like we're giving the dad fair play here. I don't feel like, I feel like she wanted to move with her mom and she found the best way to make it happen. She read at a third grade level. She had already been held back. She should have already been in junior high and she wasn't. I got her to improve her reading and her writing the short time she was with us. She was a defiant little turd, man. We ended up having to have her picked up by a social worker because she threw a hissy fit and was digging stuff out of the trash. She was an interesting little kid. She needed counseling for sure. I don't think she needed to be relocated to way across the U.S. on the government's dime to go live with her mom. But she told me, my mom's going to put me in eighth grade or whatever. And I'm like, dude, you have to test into that. Like, you're not your mom's not just going to walk into school and be like, yeah, she's in fifth grade, but she should be in eighth. And they're just going to bump you in there. It's not going to happen. You can dream on. My mom's going to get me an iPhone. That's fine. Yeah, your mom can just keep spoiling you for what? Telling lies about your dad? That's always brilliant. Anyway, moving on. The point is, I told Grace, I said, look, I go, because I had told her something she had done. I said, I'm very disappointed in you. And then a couple days later, she came back and said, my teacher said she was disappointed in me. And I looked at her. See, I know this kid. I looked at her and I said, did your teacher actually say she was disappointed in you? Or is that just what you heard based on what she said to you? And she looked at me like, what? So I explained filters to her and this is how I did it. I said, okay, you have filters. Basically, whatever you've gone through in your life has created ways that you filter information. So if you've had a very domineering father, any kind of male authority figure, you're going to filter through that domineering. Well, I mean, any male authority figure, it doesn't even have to be domineering. Any male authority figure is going to be filtered through the fact that you had a domineering father and how you responded to that. If you had a domineering father and you received the fact that he was domineering and you could do whatever he asked you to do without a problem, and you actually respond well to that kind of thing, then any kind of male authority filtered through that filter will be like, okay, he's telling me what to do, I'm going to do it. By the way, guys, I have a very biased filter when it comes to men and things they say. So, just so you know that. Then, if you have like a very loving mother, you're going to have a filter where you're going to filter things through that. So, the way things are received are sent through this filter. And things that don't align with the viewpoint that this filter makes you believe to be correct are going to be held back. And it can do a myriad of things, but one, you either just don't hear it, receive it, care, you delete it. It's not relevant. It didn't make it through your filter. It just means nothing to you. Two, you're going to overreact because it doesn't align with the filter. It doesn't align with what you believe, so you're going to overreact. And that's what we're seeing in America right now. A whole crap load of overreaction. A whole crap load of overreaction. All you have to do is say, this doesn't align with my filter. Could my filter be wrong? Let me check. And if your filter is 100% okay, then you're like, you know what? No, this is actually legitimately wrong. And if your filter may have a little bit of a skew mentality to it, which a lot of filters do, you could be like, you know what, I see that now. I see that there is logic to that, and I probably should be aware of that. Next time I hear things like this, my filter might be engaged and cause me problems. Anywho. So as I was explaining this filter thing to her, I said, it's like sunglasses. I go, filters are very beneficial at times because they can really help you. Like, they can keep the gunk out of your life. They can really help you out. But at the same time, they can be detrimental and they can be damaging because they can make you believe a reality that is not true. And as long as you keep parroting back this false narrative of whatever it is you happen to hear, be it the right or the left, if you haven't done your own research and figured out stuff and made sure your filters aren't causing you some chaos, you're just a parrot. And we don't need you because we already heard it. You're just saying it again. We don't need you to say it again. We got it. You're good. You know. Thank you. Thank you for repeating what everybody else is saying. We appreciate it. As they say, master of the obvious. Thank you very much. So, I gave her a pair of sunglasses. And I said, if you wear your sunglasses on a sunny day, they're very helpful. This is what a filter is like. It keeps the harmful UV rays out of your eyes. It lets you be able to see clearer without having to squint, having to cover your eyes. It helps you to focus, especially if you're driving. But regardless, it protects your eyes. The sunglasses during the day, brilliant. Great idea. Now, sunglasses driving at night, not so much. Now, sometimes people will use sunglasses to drive at night. I get it, because of the glare of the headlights. Still not the safest thing to do. I think they have nighttime driving glasses that kind of handle that. But they have to be specially made, where they can filter out the halogens, the bright lights of the headlights, while still letting you see clearly. Okay, so that's kind of the whole, like, I need to probably adjust my filter. If it's catching things that are legitimately true, and I've had this filter since I was 7, and I'm 27 now, I might need to adjust the filter to allow for the truth to come through. Or just turn your filter off for a minute. I know that sounds really hard, guys. Or strange. But you have to know what your filters are in order to turn them off. So I had to do that when I read J.K. Rowling's essay. But everybody on the left can't turn their darn filters off to read her essay. So they hate her. I got kicked out of a women's writing group for sharing her essay. That's all I did, guys. I shared her essay. I didn't give thoughts on it. I didn't debate anybody. I've never said anything hateful to anybody. But I got kicked out of a writer's group, a women's writer's group, for sharing J.K. Rowling's essay on a post about J.K. Rowling. But go figure. The thing is, guys, if you don't turn your freaking filters off, and that was a Christian cuss word I was going to use earlier, then you're no good to anybody. You're just no good. Like, it's ironic to me how many, you go to a Trump supporters page, and like, with the exception of like these celebrities that have thousands upon thousands of followers, but you go to a Trump supporter page and you're not gonna see a lot of Trump stuff. I mean, we may post, I'm not really, guys, I'm becoming a Trump supporter. Like, that's what this is turning me into. I wasn't before. But I'm like, I'm watching all this chaos unfold. I'm watching him be like, grow up, America, grow up, hair. And I'm watching his press secretary, like, she's like, dude, I've already answered that question 3 times. You know, it's like these freaking biased news reporters. That's the thing. Shut down every news outlet. And I love Fox, and I know that's a conservative side, so people get pissed off. Shut down every news media department for a month and clean out the trash and then relaunch. That's your best bet right now. Because you're idiot. Most of you are idiots. I can't... You can't write the news with your bias intact. Because then you're not reporting the news. You're writing an opinion piece. You're writing a freaking essay. You're writing a freaking monologue of your own agenda. You're writing your own thesis paper. You're not freaking being objective. Do they not teach objectivity at school anymore? I don't understand it. I don't. These news outlets, you're watching this and you're like, dude, like, you're not even covering the story. You're telling us what we need to think because of what you think. You're showing us your filter and saying, this is a filter to engage and put it on and live this life through this filter. It's ridiculous. Guys, I'm all for it. Read an article from, like, CNN. Read an article from the mainstream media. And then research it. And find out just how freaking inaccurate it is. Because most of it is their opinion. Written as fact. And guys, trust me, it's very easy to do when you're full of yourself. Because I was fooling myself as a kid, and I used to just say things, and people would take me at face value and believe me, and I still remember that time when someone's like, really? And I was about to say yes, and I thought to myself, and I said, you know what? I have no idea. I just said it because I wanted to have an answer, and it sounded good to me, so I have no clue. I couldn't tell you. So, yeah. Turn your filters off. I no longer work for Disney English. My last day is July 21st. Am I staying in China? Yes. And I'm going to be bluntly honest with you guys. I think I said it in one of my other podcasts that, like, if the socialist wins, I wouldn't come back. And now he's not technically in the running, but he still is. So now you have, like, a guy with freaking dementia running for the Democrats. And then, of course, you still have President Trump running for the Republicans. And then I don't even know who you're getting for your other parties. But yeah. Guys, Hillary was not a good choice because she definitely had health issues and she was not all there. And that Biden is not a good choice, guys. I mean, he didn't really do much as vice president. Why would you want him as president? Like, I just feel like he just wants the bigger meal ticket and whatever. America's burning itself to the ground and it's very sad to watch from far away. But here's my one caveat. If you've listened this far, thank you very much. If I've pissed you off, it's because your filters are engaged. That's all there is to it. I can listen to things and only get pissed off when they're insane. So, like, there's a woman out there saying that if there's a white person and a black person applies for a job, that they should be racist against the white person and give the job to the black person because he's black. And it's like, dude, racism is racism. Like, you can't flip the narrative and say, start being racist against white people to make this okay. The majority of people in America aren't racist. Like, they may have thoughts in their head that, like, that are borderline racist or have a racial root. But in the truth of the matter, they don't actively wish ill on people of different colors. They don't actively seek to destroy the lives of people with different colors. They don't seek to steal their jobs, wreck their... But you know who does? The freaking internet. That's who does. The ones that are like, oh, you disagreed with me? You had the nerve to disagree with me? I'm going to freaking ruin your life. That's who does it. But as a rule, it's not necessarily anybody else. There's no systematic racism in America. Yes, there's racism. Yes, there's racist people. I 100% believe people have been denied jobs based on the color of their skin. And that goes on either side, guys. It really does. The answer to racism is not to be a racist. I mean, you don't say I'm gonna reverse the racism and have it be opposite of what it is. That's still racism. You're not answering anything. You're not solving anything. You're just compounding the problem. And defunding the police is not the answer, guys. If you want them better trained, you need money for that. If you want people willing to risk their lives, you want people willing to run into the building and save you from a gunman, you need to pay them to do that. Very well. The Secret Service is paid very well. Private security companies hired by celebrities and the wealthy are paid very well. If you want to support your local police department and have them actually be willing to step in front of another gun to protect you, you need to pay them well. You need to. It's ludicrous to think that you're going to start lowering their pay and denying them benefits and denying them stuff that they're actually going to be willing to lay their life down for you. Now, some may, because they are inherently willing to do so. But as a rule, you can expect your protection to degrade and drop down significantly. And we've already seen that across the country. And now the last thing I'm going to talk about is CHOP, which was stupid. Chaz, moronic. Seattle, vote a new mayor in. I would have, from the minute she cowered in the freaking corner and started sucking her freaking thumb, oh, we're going to have a summer of love. Just let them have it. The minute she stopped caring about her community and let that area be taken over by freaking people that just ran roughshod over that place for almost 4 weeks, I would have called an emergency freaking election and had her booted. I would have been like, what do we do? How do we get her out? We want someone with a freaking spine. Protect our freaking city. That's what your job is. I can't even. And then your governor, Washington, your governor, not worth spit.
I don't know anything about it. I can't answer right now. I have to research it.
You're an idiot. You're dumber than dirt. You should not be in a political position. Although most people in political positions. Anyway, vote them out. I don't care if you get another Democrat in. I don't care. Just get someone with spines. Get someone that actually care about you. And care about the state, care about their... Because there's two things about that governor, guys, if Washington. If he did not know, he's oblivious. He's oblivious to what's going on in his state and is not worthy to hold the office of governor. And if he did know and did nothing about it and sat there and played idiot so that he thought you were so dumb you'd believe him, he is a jerk and does not care about his community and should not hold the office of governor. It doesn't matter why he said it. Both of those are totally a reason for him not to hold office. Because if he knew about it, he should have just said, I am aware of the situation, I am in communication with the mayor, and we're watching as it unfolds. He was full on aware, Washington. Watch that press briefing. He starts shuffling his papers, like, I'm trying to hide my smile, because me and the mayor are holding hands on this one. Ridiculous, guys, I'm serious. You need to vote them both out. And like I said, I don't care if you get another Democratic governor in there, Democratic mayor. It has nothing to do with that. Just make sure they have a freaking spine and they actually care about their community and not just the stupidity of caving in to the liberal left and the freaking mob mentality. How much safer do you feel if your mayor's like, oh, let them have those 12 blocks. I don't care who lives there. I don't care whose business is it there. We'll just let them have it. Oh, look, they've blocked it off with guns. Let's just pull the police out. It doesn't matter. We'll just let everything happen there. And now how many people are dead? How many rapes have happened? How many assaults? How much graffiti? All this stuff they have to clean up because the mayor's like, oh, just let them. Let them have their summer of love. Let them have it. It's fine. You guys, seriously, out of everything that's happened, besides the... One city councilor just voting to decide to get rid of the police department completely. Those are freaking dumber than rocks as well. But no matter what happens, the worst example of, besides the mainstream media, it's a toss-up. Instead of the Academy Awards this year, we should have the freaking, you're the worst. You did not protect your community. You did not protect your people. This is the worst. I can't think of a name to give this a reward, but they should totally get medals for being the worst. We'll be so glad when you're not in office. I swear, if these people win a second election, then you guys have lost your brains. They have proven, the mayor of Seattle and the governor of Washington have proven that they don't care. They sit in their posh little mansions, filing their little nails, feigning ignorance. We know he knew. You'd have to be a friggin' inept moron not to know that Chaz had happened. Or just not communicate at all with your mayor, but it was all over the freaking news. How did you not know? Oh, really? I didn't know anything about it. I don't feel like I can comment. The reporter knew, dude. If the reporter knows, you know. Get a grip. Boy. That for me was just... Maybe call it the Dumbbell Award. You just won the Dumbbell Award, dude. You think your constituents are so dumb to believe you? You do not deserve that office, dude. You have no respect for your state at all. And the mayor has no respect for Seattle at all. They both need to be gone. And they should never touch politics again. They should be denied the right to run for office again. It should just be like, nah, dude, nah. You've proven to us that you don't care about the well-being of anybody but yourself. So you're banned from politics. But I kind of believe that maybe one of the, like, things for politics is, how much are you into self-preservation? Do you think that you could possibly, like, throw 50 million people under the bus so that you can get ahead? Oh, great. Perfect. You'd be great for governor of Washington. That's what we like. We like people that'll just run roughshod over their constituents and not care. Oh, you'd be perfect for the mayor of Seattle. We love it when our mayor just doesn't care about any of us and gives over 12 blocks to a mob and lets them destroy 12 blocks of Seattle. Good job. Bully for you both. And that was my rant, which is why I said at the very beginning that my opinion is my opinion. And I don't live in Seattle, and I don't live in Washington. So if any of my listeners do, and you disagree with me, that is also your right. Guess what? You're entitled to your opinion as well. I don't make you think the way that I think. Think your own way. Why? Because that's called common sense. If I told you that you had to think my way, then I'm doing what the liberal left is doing in the colleges and everything today. And I'm basically teaching you to be a parrot. Do you want to be a parrot? I didn't think so. So think of your own. And if you agreed with me, but you disagreed with me in little random areas, which I'm sure you did, because no one's going to agree with me 100%, even if they agree with me a little bit. Or a lot of it. Anyway, I don't even know if I'm going to publish this one. It was supposed to be short, guys, and it's not. I don't even know if I'll save it. We'll just see what happens. But, guys, thank you so much for listening, if you did. I have found another job. I will start that on July 22nd. So, the biggest, scariest thing for me was I have never left a job without having another job ready to go. And that was not an option here. Although, technically, it is because it worked out. But, I now have a great amount of empathy for people that have been laid off and didn't see it coming. Now, people being fired because they're inept or they made stupid choices, because I've been fired from jobs, guys, I don't have sympathy for that. We all do dumb things, and if we lose our job because we're idiots, that's... You learn from it and grow, and if you don't learn from it and grow, you're just going to keep repeating it, so whatever. But people that are laid off, things happen and you don't see it coming, I fully have empathy for you now. I had compassion before, but now I have full-blown empathy. That's a horrible, horrible feeling, and I don't wish anyone to ever experience that. And I know that that's not possible. I know people are going to experience it all around the world. So, thank you for listening. And be safe wherever you are, guys. If there are mandates about wearing masks, please just do it. Just do it. It's not going to kill you to wear a mask. It's uncomfortable. It's not going to kill you. Just... go to the grocery store with a mask on and take it off when you get in the car. Take it off when you go home. I mean, who cares? It's not the end of the world. And no, it is not fear. Like, they say that. They're like, oh, all you people, we're just not caving into your fear. It has nothing to do with fear, dude. I'm so sick of, like, all these little random rebellious narratives. It's like, dude, just, do you think I like wearing a mask? No. But I did it. And now China is slowly coming back to normal. And it's because people wear the masks and curb the spread. That's what you do. But be safe, be smart. Don't believe the hype. After you read the mainstream media story, look for it elsewhere and read it from other outlets and get other views and kind of meld them together and see what truth actually exists. But there you go. Hello, everybody. This is Julie from Shanghai. I'm still here. And this is Hephzibah Talks a Lot. And as has been the case this year, I just recorded like a 20-plus minute podcast segment, and then I was like, yep, no, and deleted it. So here's take two. Wait, and we'll see if it survives. So I've started a new job at a kindergarten, and this kindergarten is really far from downtown, and my apartment is really far from downtown. This apartment is about a 2-hour metro ride to Disneyland, but it's like 130 some kwai to take a Didi, so I might be Didi-ing to Disney from now on. I bought my annual pass, but I haven't gone to pick it up yet, so I need to make sure I go do that. So at this point, like, life is going really good, and I'm just trying to figure out, my next steps, like, what God wants, where He wants me to be. Because of coronavirus, I wasn't able to do my internship, so I wasn't able to get my Master's of Ministry degree, so that's gonna have to wait till I get back to the States, or if I go, like, to, the UK or something. And then I could set up an internship at a church and get that done. So I was gonna take a chaplaincy degree, and I did one semester with the chaplaincy class, a couple of the chaplain classes. But then what happened was I ended up having, obviously, because Disney English closed down, to find a new job, and I'm, like I said, I'm working at a bilingual kindergarten, and that means I work Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 4:30, and the classes for the chaplain thing, there were two different classes where I had to be in class, online, physically online, because they weren't going to record the classes because of confidentiality. It all makes sense. I'm not bitter or angry or anything. But there was no way that I could be in the class and be in a class teaching at the same time. So when I discovered the first one, there was also like an internship I was supposed to do. Excuse me. And I wrote the professor and I'm like, how am I supposed to do this? We have COVID going on. Like, you can't really pull off an internship. And he's like, see if there's a church here that'll let you, like, basically counsel people online or help people, like, online through an online thing. And I'm like, oh, dude, you have no concept. Like, guys, like, the churches here are weird. And I don't mean weird, like, they're doing funky stuff. I just mean, like, the people are strange. So, like, the small group I attended, they were really great. Like, I'm not, nothing about them. They were really great. It's just, like, I guess because they started a weeknight service, and I was like, sweet, like, I'm gonna be part of the building team. And you know what, guys? I never did go back. God dealt with me. He's like, you need to be humble. You need to accept this. And I was just like, yeah, it's not worth the effort. Guys, because it literally didn't feel like worth the effort. And I know part of it is my pride. I don't deny. Maybe all of it is my pride. I don't even know. I feel like a trained monkey can do the slides for worship and for the service. Like, I know that if that is your ministry and you love it and you do know that it's complicated, I'm not saying it's not, guys. It is something. You have, the timing is very important. The flow is very important. Problem solving, if something goes awry in the middle of it, is very important. There are aspects of that that are very, you do have to be gifted. I am just so sick of being put there. I'm so sick of it. Like, I'm sick of it. And it's a pride issue, and I get it. They're just like, oh, so you're going to be trained to do, like, slides. And I'm sitting there like, are you freaking kidding me? And like, I get that I have to prove that I'm a Christian and prove thing, but I don't know. Whatever. Like, whatever. I've lived most of my life being inconsequential, and I'm getting, like, just really weary of it. And that's part of my big struggle right now. Like, God had to deal with me this week. And because I told him, I'm just so sick, God, of, like, being, like, just being inconsequential. Like, I'm so sick of not mattering. Like, I know I matter to God, and I know I matter to my mom. And I know that this isn't about, like, my family loving me or anything like that. But it's just, like, I don't matter. I don't matter. And it's a big struggle for me. And it really clashes with my, like, rejection spirit. Not clashes, it probably holds its hand. It combines with my rejection spirit and my lack of self-compassion to just surround me with this, like, dark abyss of just, like, why don't I matter? But God has dealt with me about, like, a servant's heart. He said, as you work at this new school, you need to work with a servant's heart. And you need to be willing to do what needs to be done and to do it with a good attitude and to be gracious and to be enthusiastic. And it was so hard last week. Like, I wish God had told me that the week before, but he didn't. He told me, like, this weekend. And I'm like, you could have told me that. Because they're like, okay, we're going to do. So they did, like, these open houses. And then last week, they're, well, before last week came, but they're like, we're going to do a preview week, which was last week. And they're like, what we're going to do is, like, basically parents can send their kids here for a week and maybe that'll help them sign up, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to work that. And I'm like, okay, but do realize I'm illegal right now because I only have a hospitality visa. You can't work on a hospitality visa, but whatever, I did. Okay. Shh. But anyway, so I'm getting ready for K-1. And anyone that knows me knows that my biggest thing with Disney was I did not want Scholars 1 level. I was like, you got to give me Scholars 2 or above because Scholars 1 is like, nah, way too young for me. I knew what I was talking about, folks, because seriously, so like right before they show me like this, they introduce me like a few days before that weekend to this extremely large man, tall and rotund. And they're like, so he's going to be our teacher because I'm the only foreign teacher there. They need another one, but I'm the only one. So they show me this man, and they're like, blah, blah, blah. So then they come to me, and they're like, okay, so here's the deal. We're afraid the kids are going to be afraid of him. So you're going to teach pre-K. Like, what the literal crap? Okay? I'm like, whatever. So I'm like, okay, fine. All right. So then I show up Monday to start that thing. And I feel like there was something else I was going to tell you, and I don't remember what it was. Anyway, I show up, and they tell me, I mean, I know I'm teaching them pre-K. And then I had a total meltdown that day. Let me just summarize that. I'm not going to go into details, but there were two completely different male teachers, not even the dude that basically got me screwed over. But I was still teaching pre-K. And one of these teachers that isn't even a contract signed teacher at that school got to teach the K-1 that week. And then me and this other teacher got the bums rush and had to teach pre-K. And we were talking, and I was like after I had my meltdown that first day, and we were all standing out there talking. And I was like, I should have been teaching a higher level, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yeah, I was told, the one teaching pre-K too. It's like, I was told I was teaching a higher level too. And I'm like, yeah, well, we weren't. So, and then toward the end of the week, I was like, it's just so frustrating because I feel like, you know, like, I shouldn't be in pre-K, like, this shouldn't be happening. And he's like, yeah, but, like, you know, same with me, or he said, like, same, or whatever. I go, but yeah, but I'm the teacher that works here. Like, I feel like I got screwed over royally last week, guys, but I think it was God's way of showing me, like, how a negative attitude can affect things. Because I had that meltdown on Monday, and then Tuesday, because I told them on Monday, I said, I'm just not going to care. Because they weren't doing routine, they weren't doing structure. These kids were just crying all day long, just crying. And then, like, they weren't, like, correcting their behavior. And I was just like, I can't possibly. Like, this is ridiculous. So, Tuesday and Thursday, I was basically like, I mean, I was there and I would play with the kids if they'd let me. And I would do my English lesson and I was helpful. It wasn't like I was just like, whatever. But I was not having it. I was not in a good place at all. And Wednesday I had to go to the visa entry and exit place. That's the other thing. But anyway, I had to extend my hospitality visa because it was going to expire on like the 21st or something. Anyway, so then, I survived the pre-K week. But here's the other thing, guys. Like on Friday, I hear like the one of the local teachers telling one of the temporary teachers something about how next week they're combining. And I go, what is happening? And he's like, well, basically they're having another teaching week next week. And I'm like, oh, it'd be nice to know that. So I thought I had this week off and then I would start teaching September 1st when school starts. But no, we're doing another preview week. So this week I have to work, which I need to go to bed soon. It's already past my bedtime. But moving on. So thankfully, this week, I get to do K-1, and there's a few K-2s in there. So, I had my first lesson today, and I feel like I rocked it. But, of course, they're older kids. It just makes it easier. It's like a year difference, but it makes, like, all the difference in the world. It's crazy. So I'm teaching the older kids this week. And I went to the bathroom during nap time, and I walked by the pre-K class, and all you could hear was crying. And it was already, like, an hour and a half into the nap time. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I am so glad. But God showed me on Saturday that I have to have a servant's heart. That I need to approach and deal with this school with a servant's heart. So that's what I'm trying to do. And then on Sunday, he showed me that I have to watch my words. And not my words with these kids and not my words, although I do have to definitely have a really good attitude and different approach. Because I totally had a meltdown this week at this school. But my words to myself, because I'm always negative. Like, he was showing me when I was reading the devotional on Sunday, he was like, it isn't necessarily your self-talk, although that is bad and needs to change. But he showed me, he's like, it's the way you address a situation. Like, when something goes wrong, it's like the end of the world, and you start to say, of course, this is my life, and blah, blah, blah. And life or death, and death are in the tongue. So as long as you're claiming it, it's going to happen. So, you know, stop claiming. Unless it's a good thing, then claim it for sure. So, yeah, we're just starting this journey with the school, and we're going to see how it goes. I'm thinking I'm going to be here another year after this year. For a myriad of reasons. One, I don't feel God calling me back to America right now. He might, next year, might say, no, go home. But I don't know. Two, I want to travel to, like, Hong Kong a few times again. I want to go to Japan and go to the Disney parks there. I also want to go to Universal in Osaka. And I may want to try some other couple of things. But I can't travel this year because of coronavirus. Like, I literally will not be going anywhere until next year. And that's assuming they open the borders without an issue and coronavirus has died out. I don't know anything that's going to happen. America's burning itself to the ground, and I just don't want to be a part of that. So I'll either be home July 2021 or I'll be home July 2022. I don't know. And I don't know what home is. Like, I don't know where I'm going to be going to. That all that stuff will be figured out once God shows me. But yeah. So, the biggest thing, and this is how I'm going to wrap up this segment, is because I waited on the apartment, I found an apartment literally the Thursday, because we had, like, the preview weekends toward the end of the month of July. Well, the beginning of August, that's where it was. August 1st, we had a preview weekend. Our first preview. Not preview weekend, open house. And I managed to move into my apartment on that Friday. And with the help of Vivica, thank goodness. But here's the thing. I was going to work on Tuesday because we had, like, all these meetings and I had to show up to work. And I would take a DD, and a DD would take me an hour and some. It was insane. I was spending 200 some kwai every trip. One way, not round trip. It was, like, almost 500 kwai round trip. Anyway, so Tuesday morning, I take Doggo out to go to the bathroom, and I'm running behind, and we walk over to his pee tree, and I'm like, oh, blah, blah, and out of the corner of my eye, I see something moving in the bushes, and I'm like, is that a kitty cat in the bushes? And I look, and it's a freaking puppy, guys. Like, I am not lying to you. It is like a 2 or 3 week old puppy. And my heart just drops, and I look around, but no one's out there taking the puppy out to potty, which, why would you do that with that young puppy anyway? And I grab it, and I just keep saying, oh, my heart, what is happening? What's going on, my heart? And I carry this puppy upstairs, and I already know I'm late, and I'm like, this is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. So I take a couple photos of the puppy, and then I shove the little puppy into a cat carrier crate, and I put a bowl in there with water. I put a plate, and I had a bowl, and I think I had a bottle of water, because I was going to go in a Didi. But I put a plate of, like, puppy food. I didn't know how old this puppy was. I just knew I found a puppy. And my plan was I would go to the school, and then I would go to the vet, because I was going to be moving to this area anyway. So if I find a vet in this area, you know, then I have a vet in this area. But they made me stay at that school all freaking day. And there's so many different things, guys. I'm not going to talk about it. The meetings are all in Chinese. Like, 100% all the way through Chinese. That day was the worst, though, because I was literally there from, like, 9 in the morning till, like, 3:30 or something, doing absolutely nothing. And I was like, do you think I could run to the vet? And they're like, it's probably better that you don't, like, leave. And I'm just like, what? I'm just sitting in this classroom doing nothing. Anyway, so I took this little puppy to the vet. And they're like, what's his name? And I'm like, oh, I'm not naming the puppy. Because I was like, there's no way. This is not... Guys, I love this puppy so much. But they're like, so I found this puppy on that Tuesday. So like July 27th or something like that. And so he's almost been with me a month now. Very close. It's August 24th right now. So, I'm sorry. I gotta go to bed. I took this puppy to the vet. They asked me what his name is. I'm like, I don't know. Then they typed in some name. I don't even know. And they did, like, some tests on him and everything. He seemed healthy. They said he had a little bit of a cold. They said, like, I had to massage his belly and his tushy to make him pee and poop. It was crazy. They said he was about 2 weeks old, two or three. I noticed, like, once I got him, I got a kennel for him. I did all this stuff. And so I've been taking really good care of this puppy. We named him, my mom named him first. I messaged my mom and the Didi on the way to that, to work that day, panicking. Like, I'm like, I found a puppy. Oh my gosh. But anyway, she's like, she wants him to come home and live with her in December. I'm like, no, he's mine. But anyway, we named him Lucky, and I added Doug to it from Up. So he's Lucky Doug, and he's adorable. The vet thinks that he might have some corgi in him. I don't know. I have to wait till he gets older, and then I'll be able to see, what exactly he looks like. So my thought is that someone either stole him from the mom, or the mom was killed, because maybe the mom was a stray and she was killed, and then someone took this dog because they found it, or someone bought it extremely younger than they should have. But in any of those scenarios, what I believe happened is that they were overwhelmed because it requires a lot of care at that age. It requires a lot of care for a while. So for the first week, I had to constantly bottle feed the little guy, which the school schedule that I had, like, didn't officially kick into full gear until this last week, but the preview week. So this puppo was blessed. And so was I to have that time available to make sure he was fed regularly and everything. It was such a mess feeding him that, because he wouldn't drink from the bottle. I had to, like, dump it into my hand. It was crazy. It was so messy. And then, like, once I was able to get him drink out of a bowl, that was, like, a triumph moment for me. And then I was reading up on something, and I was like, oh, he's got to be about 4 or 5 weeks now. And I started feeding him food. So he gets dry, crunchy food, because he seems to like that. He gets a bowl of water, which he's just started drinking from, his water bowl. And then he gets, like, it's like this kid tray. And, like, one compartment has, like, the goat milk that I make for him, his formula. And then the other compartment has his canned food. So I always feel like I'm, like, cooking a lunch for kids. Because there's, like, 4 steps to his food. The cats and dog, I just have to make sure, the other dog, I have to make sure that the water is fresh and the litter box is clean and there's food in the bowl. Lucky stays in his kennel when I'm at work. When I'm not here. But whenever I'm here, I just let him be free. Because I'm not a fan of kennels. But I can understand their value. Especially when caring for him. So he's already grown on me. He's amazing. I'm going to take him to the vet. I was going to take him to the vet this week. But lo and behold, I work this week. Which I didn't know. So I'm going to take him to the vet on Saturday or Sunday, because it'll have been about a month, as I said, just a little over a month. And I want to take him in to get another checkup, and then to, like, set out my plan of when I'm taking him in for shots, so I can know when he needs to go to the vet for shots. I believe in God's timing 100%. And I was just thinking today, like, God, I believe that every animal I've gotten, that God has obviously opened the door that I could have the animal. However, there are two specific animals that I know for a fact God gave me. One, of course, is Lucky Dog. Lucky Doug. See, that's why I did that. Lucky Doug, which I just told you his story. That I believe God timed everything, including my move, so that I could be there and rescue this puppy. And the other one was Chauncey. And I'll briefly tell you, if I don't fall asleep, I'll briefly tell you the story of Chauncey. I was a spoiled little brat. I was probably around 11 years old, 11 or 12. And I was sitting there, and we were going, my mom and stepfather were going, and I were going to like a party, or a get-together, it's a better word, at one of his family's house, or a friend's house, I don't even know. And I just remember that I was like, no, I'm not going to go in, blah, blah, blah. So I was throwing like a little teen attitude, preteen attitude. And my mom and stepfather went in, and I'm sitting in the car pouting, and I look over, and there's a freaking Dalmatian standing at the gate, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I couldn't get out of that car fast enough. I love Dalmatians. They are one of my favorite breed of dogs. I think they are amazing. And I asked my mom for a Dalmatian, and she would always tell me they're too expensive, which is 100% true. So the minute I saw that there was a Dalmatian, I am like, on that, you know, this is my Dalmatian. Anyway, so I'm sitting next to the chair of the owner, or maybe my mom's sitting in the chair. I don't remember who's in the chair, but I'm sitting on the floor petting this dog, and I'm just like in love with this Dalmatian. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to get to pet one in real life. And my mom, I remember this like it was yesterday, guys. Except that I don't remember where my mom was sitting. I think my mom was standing near me, and the woman was in the chair. And my mom looks at the woman and says, my daughter absolutely loves Dalmatians. And the woman's like, do you want him? And I remember glaring at her, like, that's not funny. Because you know people will joke like that. And she was like, no, seriously, I bought him from a pet store, and he's deaf. And so, if you want him, you can have him. It's really unfortunate. However, it was God's gift to me. God gave me a Dalmatian. Like, it's brilliant. Brilliant. So, from him, we ended up getting Junior and Precious because they were his kids. But, yeah. So, God gave... These are the two... I mean, like I said, God's hand is in every pet that I've had. However, these two, Chauncey and Lucky Doug, are the two that God specifically handed me. Just reached down and handed me. And Chauncey was amazing. He had a very short life, unfortunately. But he was totally spoiled rotten, and he was amazing. He was brilliant. This woman that gave him up missed out on the most brilliant dog. He was so fun and so loving and so funny. He was amazing. And I believe, as I close this segment, I believe that dogs and cats and horses and animals go to heaven. I believe that if you're a Christian and you have had pets here on earth that you've loved, that they go and join you in heaven. And God told me I could believe that, so I don't want to hear any of your negativity. He told me it's fine, believe that. It's not detrimental for you to believe that. And if it turns out I believe that and I get to heaven and it's not true, it won't be as painful as living here and not believing that. So I believe it. And I believe my God is greater than all the naysayers out there. I believe that my God knows the connection that happens with animals, and he loves us, and so he would let us keep that. I really believe that. That's just me. And I also believe, like I said, that if you're saved and you have a pet, it goes up. But I also believe that you can ask. So, like, for me, every once in a while, although I have prayed that God give me all the dogs and cats that have been, like, tortured and abused that no one wanted, that were, like, basically killed because people are evil, that he give me all of them. But there have been a few that I've specifically prayed and said, God, if animals really do go to heaven and that dog doesn't have a Christian owner or a dog was just abandoned or whatever, then I ask God to give me that animal as well in heaven. So I can imagine my little farm of animals when I get to heaven. It'll be crazy. That's how you'll know it's me. You'll be like, oh, there's the one that did the podcast. You guys will know because we're in heaven. It doesn't matter. But, oh, there's someone that does the podcast because she has like the 30 or did the podcast. She has like, you know, 378 dogs and 500, whatever, cats. No, it'll be okay, guys. The thing is, if you're not a Christian, let me just say that nothing will give you more purpose, relevance, or life like giving your life to Christ. And I know that we humans are horrible examples, and I know that we fail to portray the wonder that is God. But I just want to tell you that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only time it becomes too late is when you take your last breath. That doesn't mean that you should procrastinate or not do so now, but you have the freedom and the ability to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you should do so. I can face any day, I can even face being irrelevant and not mattering in this world, because I know that I matter to Christ. Even on my worst day, even in my worst failing, even in my worst tantrum, like a 2-year-old kicking and screaming on the floor, I know that his love for me never fades or changes, and I know that I can trust him to keep his hand on me. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you would like more information, you can write me at htal.podcast@gmail.com, or you could just message one of these spots, and I think there's a way to see them. I don't know. It's probably better to send an email. If you're just still not sold on the idea of Christ, same principle. You can write me, and I'll do the best to answer questions with research and knowledge, not just with, this sounds good to me, and I'll do it. But if you do know Jesus Christ, can I challenge you to just, you know, reach out and introduce people to him, and to do that with the most simple of things. Do that with a smile. Do that by paying for the person's groceries in front of you if they're struggling. Giving food or money, if God leads you to do that, to homeless. Not just look the other way, actually be there to help bless them. And just give your life. I am rambling with my eyes closed, and I keep thinking, because I keep coming back to, like, my voice. If that makes sense, any of you will know what I'm talking about. And I'm in the middle of, like, a sentence, and I'm like, what was I even saying? I don't even know. I might listen to this later and be like, that's total gibberish. I don't even know what I was saying. But anyway, the point is, guys, don't use us as an excuse to miss out on a wonderful life here with Jesus Christ and an eternity with him. Because when you stand before the Lord on that day and he says, why did you reject my son? And you're going to tell God, because Julie was a horrible example of Christianity. And he's going to just look at you like, yeah, that is not going to fly. I am a horrible example of Christianity. I am a very poor example of Jesus's love. However, that is not going to win in the courts. And so you need to really think about that. And the truest thing is, guys, if you're willing, it boggles the mind that people are more willing to believe that when we die, we become absolutely nothing and cease to exist. They'd rather believe that life has no purpose or value, because once you're dead, you're gone and nothing else matters. You don't even, you're just done. There's nothing there. It's more disturbing that people would rather believe that there is no afterlife at all and you just die, than they would be willing to surrender their life to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ does not live in oppressive leadership. He is not the kind of God and King that drags your face into the dung pile and makes you inhale deeply. That is not the kind of Savior he is. He is tender and loving. He is focused and attentive, and his love for you never changes or falters, even though you fail. His love for you is all-encompassing, and he is going to challenge you. He is going to ask you to change, but he's going to empower you to do that. He's going to make it possible for you to change. And through it all, through every lonely day, through every moment, through every darkness, through everything, he's there. And you can just trust his love and trust his presence, and it changes your complete life and your complete reality when you have Jesus Christ. So I'm going to challenge you, if you don't have him, to have him to accept him as your Lord and Savior. You can write me, like I said, htal.podcast@gmail.com. And we're going to wrap up this segment. And guys, if I said anything funky, send me an email and let me know, because I may not listen to this again. But I know that there were times that I was just talking and I don't even know what I was saying. So I can pretty much guarantee I said some weird stuff. But thanks for listening.